show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Zing Zang Cocktail in a Can, Wind Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the 3-1. Driven out into right center field and deep. That ball is gone. A home run. A line drive bullet into the seats in right center. A two-run jack for Stanton. And the Yankees lead 2-0. Fly ball, deep right. Going back, Engel on the track. See ya! Another home run for Stanton. A two-run shot. And the Yankees take a 5-3 lead. Another oppo shot by Giancarlo Stanton, his ninth home run of the year.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Hour. Before I explain to you why we played that highlight of the Yankees from last night, we do have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Naz, I get this from Jimmy Stewart because I'm not logged in here yet, but I trust Jimmy implicitly. Robert Williams is out tonight. He will not play in this game. Jimmy, who reported that?
I have it on Sean Grandy's Twitter.
There we go. Sean Grandy.
Okay, Sean Grandy's a good source. Play-by-play man here, 98.5 The Sports Hub, your Celtics play-by-play radio broadcaster. Important piece of information there as the Celtics get ready to play Game 6 tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee, facing elimination. No Robert Williams again. He will not play in this game tonight. So we just want to share that information with you. Obviously, it's a significant piece of news. We have any more news coming out of Milwaukee, we'll pass it along to you as always. Pre-game starts at 7 o'clock here on 98.5. In the interim, the Baseball Hour will proceed as previously scheduled. 617-779-0985 is your number. We haven't had many one-hour shows of late. Tonight we do. We get the full hour. We get a lot to get to. Matt McCarthy is in, as he is every Friday. Here's where I want to begin. We just played a highlight for you, or highlights. Giancarlo Stanton with two home runs last night. Yankees win 15-7. I'm not here to rub the Yankees in your face.
That's very big of you, Maz. Thank you.
But I am here to tell you that the Yankees are 23-8. 23-8. The Yankees have the best record in baseball. Fewest losses in the game with 8. Run differential of plus 60, which I believe is second in the game to only the Los Angeles Dodgers. That should come as no surprise to you. The Yankees have run 4 in a row. They are 14-4 at home. They are 9-4 on the road. And they are now 12 games ahead of the Red Sox, 31 games into the season. So the question I have, because the Red Sox were off last night as they open a 3-game series in Texas tonight, and we'll give you a starting lineup here in a matter of seconds, but the question I have for you all, is it already over? Do you believe it is already over? Is everything here now just playing out the string already? Do you really believe that? Because I have my personal thoughts on this, and there are all kinds of statistics. I've said to you a million times, you can't win the pennant or you can't win a championship in April. You can't clinch a playoff spot in April, but you can lose it in April and early May. The Red Sox 11-20 after 31 games. Again, 12 back of the Yankees. So I ask all of you, I ask Matt McCarthy, 617-779-0985. Do you already think it's over? Matt, go.
Yes, 100%. They are cooked, Maz. They're done. It's over. Thanks for coming out. 2022. It doesn't even feel like it even happened. Thanks a lot, Jimmy. It's been real. It's been good. Nope, Red Sox are good. You know, you might as well cancel the program right now, Maz. The division's too good. The Yankees are too good. The competition is too good compared to the Red Sox, and I don't think the Red Sox cared enough about this year, and this is the price they pay for it. Yes, I think it's over. I do.
Jimmy Stewart, do you believe it's over?
Yeah, they're done. I mean, they might go on a run in September to try to make it closer than the final score would indicate, but yeah, they're cooked. This team blows. And if you need an indicator that the GM didn't believe in this season, look at the Jackie Bradley Jr. trade.
Yep.
Look at the roster he built. I might be on the Matt McCarthy train of fire bloom before he trades Bogarts.
Okay, look, there's a lot to dislike about the way this thing is going or has gone. I don't think it's over yet. As much as I would like to agree with you, Because what they've done here in the first 31 games is appalling.
Red Sox employee speaking.
It's appalling. Yes, indeed. We should issue that disclaimer. It's like in Shaughnessy's columns when he points out that John Henry owns the Globe. I should point out that, yes, I am an SN employee and do receive a check from John Henry. Well, in theory. I mean, you know.
Does it say John Henry on it?
You know what? I haven't actually looked to see who signs a check. I should probably check that. I have gotten a couple of them already. Yeah. I haven't, you know, it never occurred to me even look at that.
It's a good question.
It's not over. It's not over. They've dug themselves a hell of a hole, but it is not over yet. Now, as always, I would love for people to bitch and complain about everything they've seen thus far, and you should. And I want to get to the offense. We're going to get to the bullpen. We're going to get to Trevor Story. We're going to do all of that over the course of the next hour. And if there's anything else on your mind out there as a baseball fan, by all means, feel free to call in because we'll take your thoughts on anything and everything. But here's why I would tell you it's not over. There's an extra playoff spot now, which is a big thing. And they're 5.5 out of the wild card. So 5.5 is a big gap. For this early in the year, I would tell you that 5 at any time is, and when you start to get more than that, I start to get worried. The division's at 12. You don't need to win the division. You didn't win the division a year ago. And more importantly, I've lived through it. In 1996, a year after winning the division and then losing to the Indians in the division series, and the Indians of 1995 went on to the World Series and lost to the Braves. Okay, that Cleveland team in the mid-90s, not that, you know, many of our younger listeners probably don't even remember it. Matt, you might a little bit.
I love those Indians teams of the 90s.
Those Indians teams were stacked.
They were loaded. They couldn't pitch, but my God, could they hit.
They were absolutely freaking stacked.
Homie, Ramirez.
Okay, so the Red Sox lost to the Indians in 95. The next year was the second or third year of Dan Duquette's tenure as general manager. Everyone is expecting big things. And you know what happened?
Well, 96 was lousy.
The Red Sox started out 3-15. And everybody said the same thing. It was over. Myself included. That the Red Sox were toast, they were done, and the season was finished. In fact, I remember specifically writing a column saying that the Red Sox were toast. Nick Cafardo of the Globe, whom you know I respect greatly, said to me at the time, said to me at the time, the season's too long. You can't eliminate them yet. And he was right. Over the balance of that season, the Red Sox went 82-62, 20 games over 500 rather. They finished with 85 wins. They missed the playoffs by 3. And I remember in the month of September, they played some very important games with a playoff spot on the line. They lost a heartbreaker in Chicago, and I couldn't even tell you what the final score was, but what I remember, this was pre-shift. Jeff Fry hit a ball down the right field line, and the White Sox had him played perfectly. The ball should have been a double, but they were basically had him played on the line to record it out, and the Red Sox lost the game. But their season completely flipped around. Completely. And they played meaningful games down the stretch, and there was a lot of dramatic, intense baseball played down the stretch. Now, I am making no such promises to you in 2022. But what I'm telling you is this team is more talented than that team was in 1996. Okay, that 96 team had Mo Vaughn on it. They had Roger Clemens on it in his final year as a member of the Red Sox. But this team, I would say, in the middle of the lineup is deeper. I would say there are better arms on the staff. Clemens was not, he was in a little bit of a lull there in the middle of his career.
A twilight of his career, Maz, as somebody once said.
According to Dan Duquette, correct. So all I'm telling you is these things can turn fast. They can turn fast. And I did mention this the other day that the Red Sox are 2-15 in games in which they score 3 runs or fewer. That is one of the 5 worst winning percentages in the major leagues in that category. I have to believe they are going to start scoring more than 3 runs a game. They've scored 3 runs or fewer in more than half of their games. As disappointing as their offense has been, as overrated as it may have been coming into the year.
And it was.
I don't think they're that bad. I don't.
But are they elite? Are they good enough to make up this type of gap? Yes, the offense is better than what we've seen, Maz, but they don't have a leadoff hitter. You know, Trevor Story, if he turns things around, is he going to be a true middle-of-the-order bat? I'm not convinced of that. If Alex Verdugo turns things around, is he going to be a true impact bat? Like, I think we do overrate them, and I think we overrated them coming into the year. And I understand what you say about there's an extra playoff spot. Maz, it's the second easiest season in the history of baseball to make the playoffs because they've expanded to six. The only other easier season was 2020 when they expanded to eight for 1 year. But just look at the American League. It's gotten better, and the Red Sox have gotten worse from last year. You're not as good as the Angels. You're not as good as the Rays. You're not as good as the Blue Jays. I don't think you're as good as the White Sox, even though they've struggled. The Guardians are better than you. The Yankees are clearly better than you. So, yeah, the Red Sox might make it interesting. They might make it better than what you see. They're not as bad as what you know as how they've played so far this year. But are they a playoff team? I can't legitimately make that argument today because of the way they've played and because of the way the rest of the American League has played, too, and the division as well.
Okay, so then you're in it really just for the trade deadline, then.
The trade deadline is a deep concern to me as a Red Sox fan because I think they'll sell. They're absolutely trending towards selling, and it's a real problem. It's a real problem that this is where the Red Sox are. I said last week, Maz, 2014 all over again. And Chaim Bloom is hell-bent on, you know, completing his destiny to become Ben Cherington. They're heading in a bad direction, and they're going to sell off pieces at the deadline, which I hate.
Okay, I'm just not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not willing to do that yet. I don't think they are there yet. I think they have time to turn it around, but they need to get their asses in gear. And all they got to start doing is they've played 9 series, I think it is, and they've won one of them. Is that right?
Yep.
1-7-1. In their 9 series.
And the only
or it might be 1-7-2 now because they split the Braves series.
The only series they won came against the Tigers, who are, have undeniably been the worst team in the American League.
I mean, so that's just not, you know, but I would feel worse if they were getting blown out like they did in 96. And they're not getting blown out. Their starting pitching actually has been better than I thought it would be. But there are some issues that they have. So anyway, this is where we're going to start. 617-779-0985. I want to get to Trevor Story as well. I've already gone long here in the first segment, but don't go anywhere. Darren, Matt, Frank, stay on the line. We'll get to your calls when we come back.
Now more baseball and more Mets.
Okay.
This is the base.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1-1. High fly ball, straightaway center. Duvall racing back at the track and wall. It is gone. Home run. That's number one for Trevor Story. A two-run shot to put the Red Sox in the lead in the second inning.
So that was the other night. Trevor Story's first home run as a member of the Red Sox. I want to get to that, too. It relates to something that Matt McCarthy wants to touch on as well, which regards the leadoff position in this lineup and how inept it has been, really, for the entirety of the season. Trevor Story was hitting leadoff for a little while. He no longer is, thank goodness. The problem is that the Red Sox don't have a solution, but we'll get to that in 1 second. We'll take a couple of your calls first. Matt is in Nashua. Matt, fire away, pal. What do you got?
Hey, what's up? Hey, real quick. Season's not over. 2019, the Washington Nationals started out 19-31. They won the World Series. Enjoy the weekend, boys.
Okay, so Matt McCarthy, do you buy into sort of stats like that?
I think it shows that it can happen, but look at this year, look at this Red Sox team, look at the holes they have, and look at the competition in the American League East. That Nationals team, you know, had a lot of talent, and I'm not saying that the Red Sox don't have a lot of talent smattered across this roster, because they do. They have some real high-end talent. But, Maz, the holes in the bullpen are tremendous. The holes in the lineup right now are tremendous. It's just too much to ask. The Nationals just kind of figured it out. They got better. Like, if the Red Sox figure it out, do they have enough firepower to all of a sudden make the playoffs with the Yankees so far ahead, the Angels playing well, the Blue Jays ahead of you, the Rays, like, it's too crowded. So, I mean, sure, it can happen, but it's not going to happen for the Red Sox this year. They're not good enough, and the rest of the competition is just good enough to keep them out.
See, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's not going to happen, but I will tell you it's less likely. So I don't have it in front of me. Maybe you can pull up the 2019 Nationals. Mm-hmm. I know they had Rendon at third base.
Yep.
They still had Bryce Harper.
They still had
Max Scherzer. They still had Steven Strasburg. I mean, I say still had. They had Steven, you know.
Trey Turner.
Okay, so they had a terrific team. They were underachieving in the early part of the year, not unlike this one.
Right.
So I don't know that this Red Sox team is as good as that team, and I'm always reluctant to compare any team to a team that turned it around. The odds are that you're not going to turn it around. And I'm not telling you I'm confident that they will. I'm just telling you that it's too early to pull the plug. Okay, it's too early. So I don't like the way they're playing either. I'm as pissed about it as anybody. Maybe more so. Steve's in Lynn. Steve, what do you got?
Yeah, so my sense is that I'm a little disoriented by your positivity, Tony. You'll forgive me.
It's not positivity.
For so long, we've gotten to 50 games, and you said, at 50 games, do you really believe this is the team that they're supposed to be when they're winning all these games? Do you remember over the years, you've always doubted them when they were doing really well? And so now, here we are. And all of a sudden, they're losing, and you're saying they still have a chance.
Wait a minute. Steve, let me put you on hold there for 1 second. Isn't that consistent? In other words, when they do well early, and I tell you, slow down, it's a long season, you call me negative. Now they're playing poorly, and I say, slow down, it's a long season. Now you're telling me that I'm positive. See, the problem is you want to label me as positive or negative, but isn't the reality that it's a long season and that you really can't make that judgment yet? Isn't that really the point?
Well, if you give me one more second, I don't know that the fact that you're now working with the Red Sox doesn't make a difference. I'm sorry, and I really like you as a person, so that's enough for me.
Yeah, you don't have to like me as a person. You can believe whatever you want. And I'm just telling you that I just think the baseball season's a marathon. And so the fact that I, quote-unquote, work for the Red Sox, which, you know, I suppose technically is true. Not technically. It is.
100% true.
Okay, so I absolutely do work for the team. So let me tell you this, that I think Chaim Bloom has made some grossly inadequate or, frankly, terrible decisions as it pertains to the roster. Ownership has kind of pissed me off because I don't really know what direction they're going in. I think there are players on this team that are underachieving badly, and they have to take their heat, too. So if that's positive, too, then accuse me of being positive. That's fine.
Jimmy, I'm glad we have somebody on this program who is not compromised and will rightfully call for Chaim Bloom to be fired.
I co-sign your take, Matt.
Frank is in Boston. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Tony. Two things. First of all, I think you need to quantify by what you mean by a chance, because there's always a chance that anything could happen, including when I walk into a club and there's a beautiful girl there, there's a chance she might talk to me. But
no, there isn't.
Likely. Well, especially with my voice and a face made for radio. Number two, I stand with Matt. Not only is it 80% likely mathematically that they're not going to make it based on the start, the bigger issue is the constitution of the roster. The bullpen's not good. Six out of the nine offensive players are career cannot hit players. And the starting staff, although you make an argument about the ERA, I think that argument is overrated as well because they've only been asked to pitch 4 or 5 innings a game, and they're not particularly good either. So I think the team is not constituted to go on a huge rip, which is what they need to go on to make it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've seen it before. I don't think it works that way. So I know that, see, the problem is that you think now they have to get them all at once and they got to win 11 in a row. And I don't think they have to win 11 in a row. What I think they need to do is just start winning series and make up a few games a month and then be in a good spot at the trading deadline and then all of a sudden be able to add. That's what I think. And again, I've seen it. And I'm not telling you that they're going to do it. I'm just telling you that it's not over yet. Now, you want to talk about the hole they're in? It's gigantic. They have freaking sucked. I still have some level of confidence that they're going to figure out the bullpen because I think that the analytics guys can figure out the bullpen. So now I'd feel a hell of a lot better if Garrett or Whitlock were out in the pen. I still don't understand why they're not doing that, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe he'll end up out there at the end of this series. I have no idea. I think he's supposed to pitch tomorrow, right?
He's that pitching would seem one to make the, sense based on where he would fall in the rotation.
He's pitching one of the games this weekend. Yeah. I think tonight is Pivetta. I want to say tomorrow is Whitlock. So I would like to see that. And when you say six out of the nine guys in the lineup are can't hit guys, I don't know. I agree with six. I'll give you three. I'll give you Dahlbeck. I'll give you Bradley. I'll give you Vasquez. Everybody else should be able to hit at least a little.
But the thing, Maz, too, just real quick, they have not announced starters. I know they're waiting for Rich Hill to come back. So Whitlock pitched on Tuesday, so he's going to pitch, I would assume, Sunday.
Oh, Whitlock pitched Tuesday.
Tuesday.
That's right.
But, okay, so let's say Verdugo starts hitting a little bit more, which he should. Let's say Kike Hernandez starts hitting a little bit more, which he should. Let's say Trevor Story starts hitting a little bit more, which he should. Are any of those guys truly impactful players? Are they fine players? Are they, you know, and Kike can, you know, get as red hot as we've seen. But we're talking about a guy who's hit 240 in his career. So we did overrate this offense coming into the year. Yes, you can make the argument that they're going to get better. They should get better. They're not as bad as this. If you put Whitlock back in the bullpen, Carrabas was on the other night. He said you've got eight guys out there who have combined for an ERA under three. So, okay, it's fine. You get Whitlock back. He's your closer. Maybe you figure it out a little bit better. Maybe your bullpen's a little bit more stable. You're a better baseball team. Are you good enough to go on a run to get to the playoffs? I don't think so.
Yeah,
you're better than this, but I don't think you're I still don't think you're elite or all that good. I think you're average, and I think something needs to break your way, and I think they've already dug themselves too much a hole.
Yeah, the impactful, you're going to have to define impactful on what the other six guys can be. The three guys in the middle of your lineup are elite.
Yep, and they've been elite this year.
They really haven't been elite. They've been pretty good.
Bogarts has been elite.
But they haven't hit for the Bogarts hasn't hit for the kind of power you would want him to, and neither has J.D. Martinez. So those guys will hit for more power as the year goes along. The problem is that when they're coming up, there isn't anybody on base. That's what the problem is. So the other guys just need to do their part. They don't need to be impactful. They just have to not suck. And they have sucked so far. So I find myself in the very unusual position, Jimmy Stewart, of having to actually apologize for the Red Sox playing poorly. I just don't think they're this bad. I don't think they're 11-20 bad. I know they're not this bad.
Feels like that was an email from your overlords at the Red Sox.
So now I don't know that they are 90. I don't know that they are 92-70 good. I think they won 92 games last year. Is that what they won?
Yep. Yeah.
But I know they're not 11-20 bad.
Yeah.
So they need to figure this thing out and figure it out fast.
We need to figure this out fast.
We. Yep. Sorry, Jimmy. That's what I meant to say. Okay. We at four Jersey Street. We need to figure it out fast. 617-779-0985. I keep putting this off. I do want to dig in on Trevor Story and the home run he hit the other night. I want to give you some numbers on Trevor Story. McCarthy will continue to bring the negativity right after he gets.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're caught up on headlines.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here on the Baseball Hour. I keep hyping this Trevor Story stat.
Better be good.
From the other night. Let me just do this quickly. This week's Performer of the Week is brought to you by Win Waste Innovations, the official waste and recycling services provider of the 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots and Bruins radio networks. Visit win-waste.com today for all your waste and recycling needs. Your Performer of the Week, Trevor Story.
What?
Red Sox have only played two games. I'm not counting Sunday this week because I'm manipulating the data.
This is embarrassing. Please go ahead.
They played Tuesday and Wednesday. Trevor Story, 3-for-9, home run, 4 RBIs. His OPS in the series against the Braves is 1,000. And I felt compelled to give him this award this week over Rafael Devers because, frankly, there might not be another opportunity. I'm not confident that Trevor Story is ever going to hit the way he has hit in Colorado? Because he's not in Colorado anymore. That's the short answer. Short explanation.
Jimmy, Maz got a text from Haim saying, you got to pump up Story. This isn't going well.
Not at all, because we're about to rip him down right about now. So Trevor Story is his first home run as a member of the Red Sox a couple of nights ago. And it's easy to look at that and say, okay, maybe the guy's starting to bust out. I don't. The home run he hit was on a changeup from Ian Kennedy, right-handed pitcher, and the ball floated back into the middle of the plate. So the reason I specify all of that to you is that it was an 87-mile-an-hour pitch that moved toward Story right in the middle of the strike zone, and he crushed it to center field. So this year, on any sort of pitch with that is a fastball, or let me rephrase, a pitch that has any sort of velocity and or moving away from him. On fastballs this year, Story's hitting 207. On sliders, he's hitting 212. On sinkers, two-seam fastballs, 071. Changeups, 333. Curveballs, 286. What I'm telling you, Trevor Story can only hit something that's soft. That's it. The two-seamer's not soft. The four-seamer's not soft. And the slider, he can't cover the outside part of the plate. The curveball's moving significantly slower than a slider is. So until I see Trevor Story turn on velocity, or until I see him cover the outside part of the plate and hit for a higher average on balls away from him, I'm not going to sit here and buy in on Trevor Story. I am not there yet. I'm not sure I'll ever be there. I thought he was an overrated player when they acquired him. I question why he's here at all. Matt McCarthy, I know you have a theory on that, and it's a popular one.
Yeah, we know why he's here. He's replacing Xander Bogaerts. And again, it speaks to everything that Haim Bloom did this offseason. None of the moves the Red Sox made this offseason had anything to do with 2022. Jackie Bradley acquired for Hunter Renfroe, so you get Benelis and Hamilton, the prospects that they like. Trevor Story acquired for 2023 and beyond because they realized in spring training that they weren't going to offer Xander Bogaerts what it's going to take to retain him. And they said, well, why don't we go out and sign Trevor Story? We'll have him play second base for a year and we'll move him over. So yeah, no, he's of course he's here to replace Xander Bogaerts. It's obvious. And then they offer Bogaerts 4 for $90, which is insulting. Let's not try and reinvent the wheel. Let's not try and, you know, look at anything, potentially different here, Maz. He's here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to replace Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, what if he sucks?
He's nowhere near the player that Xander Bogaerts is.
What if he sucks?
Then you better re-sign Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, so
either way, you better re-sign Xander Bogaerts.
So I think Bogaerts was part of it. I don't think it was the whole thing. I think it was a knee-jerk reaction to guys in the clubhouse grumbling about the fact that ownership didn't do anything. And I think about the fact that, you know, the Red Sox weren't going over the luxury tax again. I think I'm not sure. This doesn't feel like a Bloom kind of signing to me. Every guy that Bloom has signed has been for short money. He signed no big players. All of a sudden, he goes and drops $140 million on Trevor Story, $23 million a year, for a guy who had major questions coming out of Colorado. Major questions. Mm-hmm. Had an elbow injury last year to boot. So Haim Bloom, coming from Tampa, whose biggest contract was Kiki Hernandez at $14 million over 2 years, all of a sudden he's dropping $140 million on Trevor Story? No way.
No, I actually...
That came from higher up.
I disagree. I disagree completely, because would Haim Bloom rather spend 6 for 140 on Trevor Story instead of 8 for 216 on Xander Bogaerts, which has been floated out there by Jim Bowden? I think this is absolutely 100% a Haim Bloom type move. You know, they go into spring training, they talk with Bogaerts, realize that they're really far apart from where they think Bogaerts is, and Bloom goes to ownership and says, well, hey, guess what? You know, we can get Trevor Story, who we think is 90% of the player, for whatever percent, I'm not going to do the math, maybe you can do it with your Tufts education. We think we can get him for, you know, 90 to 95% of the player for significantly less of the cost of Xander Bogaerts. Let's do it. This is good value for us. The Red Sox waited out the market this past offseason to see who would be the guy who ultimately didn't have a job, and that was Trevor Story. That's exactly a Haim Bloom type of move. Let's wait until the carousel stops spinning, and let's get the guy who we think is devalued. So while you say 6 for 140, that's not a Haim Bloom type move, it's a hell of a lot more of a Haim Bloom type move than 8 for 216. I think that was 100% Haim Bloom.
So I think you're right on the logic, but I think you're wrong that it was Bloom's logic. I think Bloom would have gotten something for cheaper. That's all. I think that the idea of Story was presented to Bloom, and he took it. So this is, you've made the analogy, Matt, that this is Ben Cherington all over again.
Yes.
And I don't think you're wrong. And I think that Ben Cherington had to be pushed to make moves, and I think Chaim Bloom might have been pushed on this one. Paul is in the car. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, Tony. To me, it's mind-boggling that Garrett Whitlock is not the closer of this team. And if he'd been installed as the closer at the beginning of the season, we'd be 500 or maybe a little above, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But your original question was, you know, are the Red Sox down and out? And I'll answer no, they're not down and out for the season, because there have been a lot of teams historically in baseball that have come back. The earlier caller cited the 2019 Nationals, but you could get an intern to find an awful lot of teams in baseball history.
Yeah, so Paul, look, it's not impossible, and thank you for the call.
Braves last year.
I just got, I have other people that I want to get on, so I'm just trying to move people along. I'm under no illusion here. 11-20 is 11-20. I'm just telling you it's too early. That's all. I don't like where they are. They may have buried themselves. It could turn out that way. I'm just telling you, I'm not ready to pull the plug yet. So again, I lived it. I lived it in 96. They were 3-15. I said, this thing's over. They can't make up that difference. They ended up winning 85 games. They nearly made the playoffs. So now again, they didn't make the playoffs. So you could say, well, then they didn't recover. I would tell you that they at least made it interesting at the end, and they were a legitimate product by the end of the year. In fact, by the middle of the year, I would tell you they were a legitimate product. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
Real quick, do you think the Red Sox are a 90-win team this year? Let's say they turn
it around. I thought coming into the year, yes.
Can they get to 90 wins now?
So you're asking me, can they play 30 games over the rest of the way?
Yeah.
My answer would be probably not.
Then 90 wins is what it would have taken last year in the American League to get to the sixth spot.
90 wins?
90 wins.
And they won 92.
And they won 92.
Okay, so look, I don't think that's impossible if they can get to, I don't know, Matt, 10 over? If they can play 20 over into the All-Star break and then all of a sudden add people? Sure. Is it a long shot? Yes. But their talent is better than they've played, which is still my number one gripe. So let's get them to 500 before we get them in the playoffs. They're not, on paper, they are not 11-20.
I would agree with
that. This is what people should be the most pissed off about. On paper, they're not 11-20. They should not be an 11-20 team. So that is a flaw. Something's wrong there. And the bullpen's a big part of it. Just one thing on Whitlock, though. When the caller says, if Whitlock had been the closer, I don't want Whitlock to be the closer. I don't want him as just a ninth inning guy. I want Whitlock to be used in the role they were using him. I'm okay with that. Two innings here, 3 days later, another two innings or three innings or whatever. That's fine. I like that better. There's also less risk of injury if he can manage his schedule a little bit better like that. So, but if they had been able to pinpoint Whitlock like that, they could probably be 15-16, 14-17, something like that. And then we're not feeling nearly as desperate or destroyed as we're feeling right now. Alex is in Connecticut. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, man. So first of all, with Trevor Story, I agree 100% with Matt. He was right here just to take Xander's place. And he may have, maybe a high man, blew it past the management, but they okayed it because management is not focused on this Red Sox team. They're focused on their sports group, on Liverpool with the FA Cup now and the Premiership. They're in the Champions League final. They're focused with the Penguins. That's what they care. They're not caring anything about the Red Sox. And if the Red Sox, and I wish to God they would go on a run now, we I don't know why, a couple times you just said now to a past couple callers that we can add on. They're never going to add on. They had a chance to steal a championship last year, and they didn't add on. He had it on Schwab, which he got basically nothing because he was hurt.
Alex, I got it, and that's a fair criticism, too. I got no issue with that one at all. So is Chaim Bloom going to be the kind of guy that gives up minor league talent? And I have serious question about that, too. So you made the comparison to Cherington, and I think it's a good one. Dave Dombrowski was too much of a short-term GM.
Agreed.
Chaim Bloom's the opposite. So if you're going to be a guy that just hoards prospects and falls in love with your prospects, you're never going to win anything. you're going to be a team that is pretty good over a long period of time. You're going to pump out some players like the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays or the Minnesota Twins. You're going to get to the playoffs, and you're going to fall short over and over and over again. And as is always true, the right answer is in the middle. Theo Epstein, when he was the general manager of the team, did both. And he's the only GM, for whatever reason, that's been able to pull this off. I still don't understand why GMs tend to be one or the other. You can be both a player development operation and sign big-name free agents when you work in a big market. You can do both. They did both for a good period of time, and they won as a result of it, and they did not have bad years where they finished last place in the process.
Exactly right.
They didn't do that. So this idea that you have to be one or the other, I would say Dave Dombrowski was downright neglectful of the player development operation. Chaim Bloom is terrified to make a big move. It feels that way. And I don't count Kyle Schwarber as a big move when he doesn't play first base, really, and he was injured when you acquired him.
It's appreciated value, a typical Chaim Bloom type of move. Value, value, value. Again, would you rather have Xander Bogaerts at 8 for 216 or Trevor Story at 6 for 140? You say the money's big. Chaim Bloom says, I see value.
Okay, all I'm telling you is I don't think Chaim Bloom wanted either one of those deals. That's all I'm telling you. If I had to guess, I don't think he wanted either one. We'll wrap it up with Matt McCarthy next, and we'll share with you something very interesting that Alex Cora said after the game the other night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now more baseball. This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Like I said, we have to put games, we have to complete games. We've been very close from completing games, but we haven't done enough, and we are where we are because we haven't done that.
Just quickly, that's Alex Cora after the game the other night. Again, talking about how they have to complete games. Complete. We lose because we don't complete games. That's what Alex Cora said. Matt McCarthy, what'd you make of that?
He's talking about the bullpen, and I think he wants Garrett Whitlock there. That's what I make of it.
So, I mean, I thought that, but I also think what he's saying is we don't do enough good things in any area.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we don't move runners over. We don't have good at-bats. We put ourselves in position, but then we don't finish the job. Whether that's the bullpen or anything else. But I would say the bullpen's a big part of it. And so I'm mystified as to why Whitlock's out of the rotation. I mean, out of the bullpen and in the rotation. I don't get that one at all.
Chaim Bloom. He's thinking about the future. He's not thinking about 2022, Maz. It's consistent with everything else that the Red Sox have done this year. They think he's a starter long-term, which, by the way, I agree with. And they're saying, let's make it happen now, especially now that we've got him on great value with this contract. It's consistent with every single thing Chaim Bloom has done. So I think it's him.
So the long-term versus the short-term thing is, you know, it's an obvious tussle that takes place in any organization. But this year with the Red Sox might be more newsworthy or noteworthy than any other. And it's something that we will examine in greater detail as the year goes along. Because if they flush this thing down the toilet like they're doing, then we're going to question whether or not they were invested in this season really at all. Or whether they were invested enough in it is a better way to say it. In any case, very, very, very big basketball game coming up here on 98.5 in about 30 minutes or so. Celtics and Bucks. Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals in Milwaukee tonight. Robert Williams will not be in the lineup. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell will have you on the pregame show here beginning in a matter of seconds. Take you right up to the opening tip at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.